I have coffee jitters and I'm nervous, so I'm going to be kind of shaky. I'm just going to begin with prayer. Lord, I thank you so much that you're here with me, you're here with all of us, and that I didn't even have to worry about what to share today because you have been ministering to me all along over the past months, and I'm just going to pass that along to these ladies, and I pray that it would come out much more clearly than I'm able to make it come out, and that your word would just go forth, and that you'll bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I know a couple months ago, the last time that Josh taught for Steve, he gave his life story. That's what Steve said. I didn't listen to the tape of that, so I know some of what he said. He said a lot more than I probably would have wanted him to say, because I'm more private. He's a little more open about things, but so I'm glad that I didn't hear it. So some of this will probably be repetitive, because it's a lot of the scriptures that the Lord gave us in the past year or so. I think he went way back to his birth when he, I didn't hear it, but so this is kind of like the he said, she said, as far as just what the Lord has done in really calling us to leave Lincoln and to move on. And we have a different perspective. Again, some of the scriptures will be the same, but just how the Lord ministered to me is obviously going to be very different than what he did with Josh. And so I'll just give a quick background. I'm glad I know you guys, because it makes me so much less nervous. But just a quick background. Josh and I were in Lincoln for 8 years. We came here when Caleb was 6 weeks old, and we came at the same time as Steve and Aileen, and started a Bible study in our living room. And the first 2 weeks, it was just us. Nobody came. And then I'm pretty sure it was the third week that it just exploded. Bob and Tab came. Sarah came. Donna came late, I think. And I think Brenda came too. I can't remember. But anyway, all these people came that we hadn't even invited. And it was just really cool that so quickly the Lord started doing work. And we were, as I said, here for 8 years. We had 3 children, several job changes, and then ultimately the change that brought us out of Lincoln. And my purpose is just to share the scriptures that the Lord used to specifically direct my path. And just how that it was just my lifeline, the word, to be able to make such a hard decision about moving, and even before we got to that point, to just have peace and to be encouraged by the Lord that he was with us, even through some really difficult times. And I'm a journaler. I have prayer journals that go back to when I first got saved, and sometimes I think I can't go and read those. It's probably pretty scary what's in there, but it's kind of neat to be able to go back and to actually find the specific dates that the Lord did give me certain scriptures. And I was able to do that. Some of them, I've been doing the one-year Bible this year. I don't always do it, so a lot of them were easy to find. But the first one I'm going to share with you, I had to... the Lord just gave it to me. So it's kind of, this is just a chronological journey over the past year. And I didn't have everything in my house that I want to find, I can't find right now. So, and we have no internet yet. So there's nothing here is from Blue Letter Bible. I couldn't look anything up. There's no Hebrew. There's no Greek. There's nothing. It's just the scripture that God gave me. Which I think is good. It's good. So the first scripture that really sticks out to me, you don't have to turn in your Bibles because I'm going to kind of go here, there, and everywhere. It's Isaiah 30:15, which says, the whole scripture is, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength, but you were unwilling." And back October 25th, I remember I was walking down my back staircase and going to put some laundry in the washing machine or something. And I was just in turmoil over quite a few things. And specifically, it wasn't even Josh's job. That was something that was bothering me. But at that moment, I remember that wasn't what I was thinking about. But I was walking down my back staircase, and I just really felt the Lord speak to my heart, "In quietness and trust is your strength." And I knew that was scripture. I didn't know where it was, but I knew that was the Lord speaking to me, kind of just like, quiet down. Like, you're so worked up about this stuff. Just quiet down. And so when I had a moment, I went and looked it up and found that it was in Isaiah 30. And I know I've read it before, and the Holy Spirit just kind of lodged it in my brain. I didn't memorize it. And as I continued, well, I'll give you some of the things that were really bothering me. One of them was Josh's job. He's in the paper industry, which, especially in northern Maine, is just so volatile. And we'd been through several job losses before, and I was just really tired of it. And to me, the handwriting was on the wall that the mill was going to close down. And my big concern was that I didn't want to move. And he had worked at the Lincoln Mill, and it had just been a lot more work and time involved than we wanted to give. So that wasn't really an option for him to call up Lincoln and say, "Hey, can I go, you know, come back and work for you?" And several years before this, the Millinocket Mill that he worked at had closed down, and he had had a couple of job interviews, one at the Old Town Mill, one at the Sappy Mill, and then one out in New York. And he had gotten 3 job offers. But we felt at that time that the Lord really wanted us to stay. And it's awesome. The Lord sustained the mill for another 3 years. But I was just really very worked up about it. Like I said, I didn't want to move. My specific words to Josh were, "It would rip my guts out to move." And I meant it, especially thinking about my parents. My parents live in Lincoln, and I just, the thought of moving away from my mother was very hard for me. And I get a little choked up thinking about that. And so I had asked Josh, I was like, "Will you please call the Old Town Mill and see if you can go and work for them?" They had offered him a job, you know, a couple years ago. And it was really just fear driving me. And he is a good husband, and he did that. And he knew, I mean, we could see that things were happening. We knew that the Lord could continue to sustain it, that he could provide a good buyer. But I was just afraid. And so he did call Old Town, and they were still interested. And so back at the scripture again, the Lord stopped me in my tracks. And as I continue to read through, oh, this chapter, and I think the next one of Isaiah, in verse 18 of Isaiah 30, it says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." The wait really stood out to me. And then in chapter 31, verse 1, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." And I was very convicted that it was my fear that had encouraged Josh to call the Old Town Mill. And he really spoke to both of us through these scriptures, like, wait. Even though things look bad, wait. And so we did. So over the next 6 months, things really deteriorated at the mill. It's closed down now. I don't know, maybe it's open. I think it got sold, but I don't know. But the company that owned the mill decided we're not going to run it anymore. And so that was the end of that, looking for another job. But I look back on those 6 months, and the Lord did such a supernatural work, because I went from it would rip my guts out to move to very, very strangely for both Josh and I, like, wow, it might be kind of cool to move. It might be kind of exciting. Maybe, not that we didn't want to move, but that it might be kind of neat to move. And Josh and I are not adventurous people like that. I like to put down roots. So just the fact that I was more open to it was really interesting to me. And it, again, a supernatural work. I don't know how the Lord did it. I don't know how he could change my heart, except for just, I think even that act of obedience of wait, don't go chasing this job and going where you think things are good. I think every time we take even a small step of obedience in obeying the word, that it just conforms our heart more to the Lord. And I think that's just what he was doing in me. But we were at this place again of Josh needing a job. And I had these conditions. If we ever had to move, they had to be met. I didn't want to move because of a job. I didn't want to feel like, well, he doesn't have a job, so we need to go somewhere just for work. I wanted a sense that we were being called to go somewhere. That was just really important to me. I didn't want to run away from anything. I think we all have that tendency. And it was hard here in Lincoln sometimes. It was really hard. Personally, the growth in me was very hard. Not that you can run away from yourself, but, you know, it's just that tendency sometimes. And even just being involved in ministry and learning, it's not all pretty at all. But I didn't want to feel like I was running away. And I also wanted to know that our work here was done. And I don't remember the specific scripture, but I think it was Paul saying something to effect of, you know, basically, you know, I've finished my work here. I've run my course. And when I read that, I asked myself, could I say that honestly, that we have done what God has called us to do here? And it was really hard, but inside I knew, yes, you know, we have. We wouldn't look back and say, wow, we didn't do what God called us to do. So those were my conditions. The mill closed. And once again, Josh had several job offers, and it was a blessing, but then you have that decision to make of where you're going to go. And the next scripture that the Lord gave me was on April 11th, and I was at the East Coast Pastors Vibes Conference with Aileen and Tab and Erica, and it was like the first official meal of the conference, and they had put little scripture cards on the table, and this is how bad I am. I was like, oh, this is lame. They just gave everybody the same little scripture card. But then I turned it over, and I knew, and Aileen, I think, turned hers over at the same time, and we realized, oh, they're different. Oh, we'll read them now. And it's awful, but mine was Isaiah 41:10, and I always start to think of the scripture from Zephaniah when I think this, but it's, I'm just going to look it up so I don't butcher it. I'm reading the ESV right now, so it may sound a little bit different. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. And I had memorized that scripture, and I read it, and I knew that the Lord is on this. He totally knows what he's doing, and I really had peace. I had so much peace. Didn't know what was going to happen. But that scripture really just blessed me. And, oh, I think it was the next day I talked to Josh on the phone when I'm at the conference, and he said, I got a call from the Old Town Mill. And I thought, yay, we don't have to move. because I figured, you know, they offered him a job, and but yet there was this part of me that knew that maybe that wasn't what the Lord wanted. So came back from the conference, and it was right before Easter, and that's when people in the church pray and fast if they choose to, and that's always been a blessing when Josh and I have done that. And so we thought, this is great timing. We're going to be praying and fasting, and the Lord is going to reveal his will to us. Really hard decision to make, whether he was going to take a job at Old Town, which would allow us to stay in Lincoln, and then he had got offered a job at the Sappy Mill in Skowhegan. So the day before we officially started the fast, I opened up my one-year Bible to April 17th, and it was in the book of Luke, chapter 18. And a lot of the times, the scriptures that God will speak to me, they're not within the context necessarily of what he's talking about, which I think is what makes the word so awesome and supernatural. I mean, you can read a prophecy in Isaiah that has something to do with Israel, but the Lord can speak to you about it. That's what I mean, as far as it's speaking to you personally, not necessarily about what it was first written for. But in Luke 18, the disciples are asking, it's right after Jesus has said how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, then who can be saved? And this is really the part that spoke to me. But he said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And Peter said, see, we have left our homes and followed you. And to me, the thought of moving seemed impossible for a lot of reasons. One of them was selling our house. That was like the worst thing ever. I want to sell my house, go through that whole process. And I loved my house. And it was just one of my hangups. And I thought, the market is so bad. There's no way we'll sell it. We'd be moving to a market that is more expensive. And to me, it just seemed impossible. But he said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And just those very specific words of Peter, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. And that word parents really stuck out to me. And I've always loved this scripture. It's almost like a life verse of mine. I remember when I was a new Christian and I had a boyfriend that was not godly, and I remember reading this scripture, and it encouraged me that anything you give up for the Lord in this life, he will more than repay you in this life and in the life to come. And I'm probably a little worldly, but I kind of like the fact that he will bless you in this life too. You know, I mean, obviously heaven's going to be way better, but I've really found it to be true that anything God has asked me to give up for him, he has more than made up for it. And I think at this point I knew, even before we started fasting, that we were going. And I shared it with Josh, but I'm really leery. I don't want to influence him. I want him to hear from the Lord. He's the head of our house, and I can be emotional. I can be sentimental about things, and he he loves to hear my opinion and what God is speaking to me, but I really wanted him to hear from the Lord. So I shared it with him, but we entered that time of prayer and fasting and just waiting on the Lord, and he continued to give us scripture. The next one for me, well, during that whole week, I kept hearing the Lord kind of say to me, go in the strength you have. And I'm like, okay, I know that scripture too. And it's actually in Judges, I think chapter 6, in the account of Gideon, when the Lord tells him to go and fight the Midianites. The Midianites have been terrorizing the Israelites, and an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Gideon, you're a mighty man. And he's actually weak and hiding for good reason, I think. But the Lord says, go in the strength you have. And I had just done the book of Judges with my kids in school. I homeschool, and we start with Bible each day, and we had acted out the story of Gideon. And I think it's so cool that even that time in scripture that I have with my kids, again, the word gets lodged in your brain and in your heart. And the Lord, he'll use it at some point. And I just kept hearing that in my head, in my heart, go in the strength you have. And I'm like, Lord, I have no strength. I have none. Just thinking about moving is so daunting and scary and all of the what ifs. But it's really cool because Gideon had zero strength. And he had an army of, I think I wrote it down, I think it was maybe 33,000. I have all these handwritten notes because that's how I do things. And yes, 32,000. And the Lord said, it's too much. I'm going to reduce you down to 300. And even in reading that account again, it was like the Lord saying, you know what? Again, this seems impossible to you, but nothing is too hard for me. And I think the Lord wanted it to be a situation that seemed impossible so that he could get more glory for it. And frankly, I was longing for the Lord to do something really awesome and to see his glory. I mean, I'm one of those people, I have all my ducks in a row, and that's how I like it. But when they're not in a row and when there's really nothing you can do, that's when the Lord has an opportunity to do something amazing. And I'm sure I've seen that in my life, but I think more so in this situation that we've just been through in moving. And another thing that I kept thinking of is when Lisa Winters was here at Christmas time and she was sharing, and I think it was a similar scripture, but in the life of Mary, you know, when the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, you're going to have a child. And how can that be? I'm a virgin, but what's impossible with man is possible with God. And she shared this story of how somebody just gave them $50,000 to buy a house. And the way she said it, I was like, she was just so calm. I thought, $50,000. But, it was the Lord. And they wanted to buy this house, and they really felt like it was the Lord that wanted them to do it. And someone just gifted them this money. And I kept thinking of that, like, that's an impossible situation. And it encouraged me. So after that scripture the Lord gave me on April 17th about leaving house and parents, the next day, April 18th, I was in Luke 19, and it may seem like a really kind of a funny scripture, but again, this is, the Lord knows me so well, obviously, he created me, and I don't know how to explain it. I've always sensed the impending return of the Lord. Of course, nobody knows the day or the hour, but I've never wanted to waste my time on things that were unimportant. If the Lord was going to return and all of that was just going to be foolishness. Even I remember before Josh and I were engaged, and I was thinking, well, Lord, if I'm not going to get married, will you just just tell me, take that desire away, because I don't even want to think about that. I want to put all of my thoughts into your kingdom. And I just don't want to waste my time. I do waste my time sometimes, but anyway, this just, the Lord knows me. It's my heart. And I thought, it's just so much work to move. What a waste of time. Really? Really? I did. I mean, it's so consuming. But the Lord knows me, and he knows the things that I'm thinking. And this verse has sustained me so many times. Luke 19, verse 13. I'm just going to read the part of it. Engage in business until I come. And it just was so powerful to me, because that's how I think. And so many times, even when I was unpacking boxes at the new house, and I think, what a waste of time. Why have we just spent the last 6 months being so consumed by moving and by all of the details and the stress that it involves? And it just came back to me, engage in business till I come. A lot of the times the work the Lord has for us to do, it seems very worldly and earthly, but it has a heavenly purpose. And I don't, that, like I said, it continues to minister to me. And it just spoke to me that the Lord didn't think this was a waste of time, that he obviously had a much bigger purpose in moving us than I thought was possible. I don't really know what that is yet. So we're fasting and praying, and the Lord definitely confirmed that we were going to move. And Josh accepted the job at the Sappy Skowhegan Mill. I say Waterville because I don't really like the name Skowhegan. So I say it's in Waterville because it pretty much is. Josh calls it Skowtown. Sorry, I don't know. He works in Waterville. Just weird. So anyway, very painful decision to make, even though the Lord was definitely giving us peace. I mean, peace was my compass through all of this. But very painful decision. And then to have to start telling people that we were moving was really, really hard. And on April 23rd, the Lord just, he was so sweet and tender with me right on the heels of making this decision. And the next scripture is in, like I said, April 23rd on Psalm 90. And I'll just read the verses 16 and 17. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And I wrote in here, Sweet Promises 2011. That little portion of scripture is kind of like my theme for my homeschool. And it's just one of my great, great desires is that my children would see the hand of the Lord in their life and see the power of the Lord. I mean, I want to see that, but how much more do I want my children to see it? And I know that I can't do that for them. He has to do that. And this just comforted me so much right at the end of that week and making that really hard decision. It comforted me to know that the Lord wasn't moving us as a punishment. It was a blessing. And that he's going to use this to show his power to me and to our children. And I'm really excited about that. And just, that was really precious. That was the only word I could think of. He was just so tender with me right after that. So the months of Josh traveling to work at the mill's like, I don't know, I think it's like an hour and a half away. He goes faster than he should on the interstate, so makes it a little bit quicker. But he started staying with his parents and traveling to work, and that got old really quick. And but anyway, he had only been at his job for a week, And on our 11th anniversary, May 9th, we went and we looked at a couple of houses down there. We had decided we weren't going to buy a house until we sold our house. We didn't want to rent it. Just different things we felt we were going to wait on the Lord, because we really, really, really wanted Him to do the whole thing. We knew that we could work at it and we could try to make something happen, but it wouldn't be nearly as great as anything the Lord would do for us. So we went and looked at some houses, kind of just to rule things out and to pray and get a feel for where might the Lord want us to live, where might we go? Because there's a lot of towns around that area. And when the second house we went and looked at is the house that we bought. And when I walked in it, it felt like home immediately. And it's not perfect. The kitchen was ugly and just different things, but it felt like home. And so I, kind of got excited and I couldn't sleep that night and just mulling it all over and thinking, Lord, we can't do anything about this house because we still have a house and it wasn't even on the market yet. So I was kind of worked up about it, excited for me. I'm home all day. I homeschool, I'm with my kids and I'm a homebody. So my next home was very important to me. And I got up the next morning and opened my one-year Bible. And on May 10th, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, I love this kind of stuff. This is like my favorite kind of stuff, when the Lord just speaks to me out of some really obscure passage. This is at the time when the children of Israel were asking for a king. And Saul has been chosen, and Samuel's kind of telling Saul, you're going to be the king. And they're having this feast. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion I gave you, of which I said to you, put it aside. So the cook took up the leg and what was on it and set them before Saul. And Samuel said, see, what was kept is set before you. Eat, because it was kept for you until the hour appointed. And I read that, and it was like the Lord was promising me, I have a home for you, and I'm saving it for you until the appointed time. And that gave me peace. I didn't take that to mean that this house that I looked at that I really liked was going to be our home, but that whatever it was, the Lord was saving it for us, and that He knew all about it, and it was just a matter of timing. So we just figured, well, our house isn't on the market yet. When it's time for us to buy, our house will come on the market. So all this past summer, waiting for something to happen, waiting for our house to sell and looking at every house that came on the market within a 30-mile radius of the mill. The Psalms were just like a refuge to me. I've never really liked the Psalms. I mean, I like them, but I know some people have said they find their refuge in the Psalms. For me, I thought, oh, those are pretty, but they just weren't as meaningful to me. But this past summer, I really found that they were. And that was the first thing that I read every day in my Bible. And the theme over and over again was wait. Whenever I'd get discouraged and think, okay, well, what can we do to speed up this process? And could we afford two mortgages? Or start thinking, it would come back to wait on the Lord. And as I said, peace was my compass. Even in the midst of things just looking not good, we only had like 4 showings on our house, I think. I had peace. I knew that we were in the Lord's will. On Saturday, July 30th, I don't have a scripture, but I just remember the day. I had a piece about this house we had looked at in Pittsfield. Like I said, we looked online, we looked at everything that was coming on the market, and we had kind of written off this house for some reason. But that Saturday, I was like, you know what? That's our house. that is our house. It's the one. And again, I didn't really want to say anything to Josh. And then he called me on Monday night and he said, I was getting out of the car at my mom's house and I got this peace. Like, that's our house. Me too. Cool. But we still can't do anything because we still have a house. But I just love that, how the Lord made us so like-minded and spoke to both of our hearts. And while it's definitely scripture that the Lord used to minister to me, it's just that abiding presence of the Lord too, and walking with him and his spirit dwelling in me, and just giving peace and directing my path. So for me, it was a Saturday. For Josh, it was a Monday. We sold our house on Friday. And I remember Maddie, hopefully I don't cry, she called me on Tuesday night, I think, just to see how I was doing. And I cried all over on the phone with her because I was just at the end of my rope. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to pull in my own devices. And I think Josh was at that point too. But we sold our house on Friday, meaning we went under contract. And it was 77 days, not very long, but felt like a long time. And so we were able to buy our house in Pittsfield. There's so much cool stuff that goes along with that. I'm not going to share every detail, but one of them is that, like I said, moving to a market that's a lot more expensive, it's kind of daunting. And Lincoln wasn't the greatest as far as the housing market, but somebody had offered to buy the house that we bought and had offered to pay a lot more money for it, cash, and the owner turned it down. He was being kind of greedy, I think. So when we gave our offer to the real estate agent, they're like, he's not going to take this. He was offered a lot more than this, and he turned it down. Well, he took it. He accepted it. The Lord was holding that house for us, and just cool stuff like that. So I had read that it was not easy to close on a house and get a mortgage anymore. We got a mortgage, but I had heard that you have a lot more hoops to jump through. We certainly did than 8 years ago. There was always more paperwork and just so many things. It was very frustrating. And we were supposed to close on September 22nd, a Thursday, and on Wednesday, we found out that the appraisal wasn't done, which was really frustrating because, I mean, we're excited. We're ready to move into our house. We had been staying at my mom's house. Our house is packed up. I had movers coming Friday morning at 9. And to hear that we weren't going to be able to close on our house was really, really frustrating. So I get up Thursday morning. I'm at my mother-in-law's house. Open my one-year Bible. And I could have cried because it was Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That same scripture he gave to me at the East Coast Pastors Wives Conference. And I just read it and like, he's so good to me. I'm sentimental. I'm sappy. And I read that and I'm like, of course, Lord, you're still in this. It's just awesome. And I needed that, as frustrated as I was. And we ended up closing the next morning. Wasn't a big deal. It was just a little bump in the road. And because I'm so sentimental, we were driving down to the closing. We closed at 8 in the morning to meet our movers. We're coming at 9. And so I brought my Bible with me. And on September 23rd, I just read the psalm. And may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power among all nations. And to me, it was just like a blessing on this new chapter of our life. And it was just special to me. But I love how the Lord will do that with his word. He knows exactly who we are, what we need. He even knows how we're going to interpret it. I mean, a lot of these scriptures I've given you, you're probably like, well, that makes no sense to me. It wouldn't speak to you the same way. But that's what's so awesome about the word of God, is that he knows. And I remember back when I first got saved, going to Aaron and Lisa Dudley's apartment, and people would just come, and the whole purpose was just to sit around and share. What are you reading in the Word? How's God speaking to you? What have you found? How can we pray for you? How's the Lord ministering to you? And it was just such a sweet time. And I had been, I think, really committed to the Lord and surrendered to the Lord for probably 8 months. And I remember I started going to their apartment at the end of the year. I'm thinking it was really Easter is like my time I remember really surrendering to the Lord. And I remember going at the end of the year. And it was the first Saturday after Christmas, and Bethany Pellerin was there, and she and Peter had just gotten married, and she had a Bible that Peter had, she said, oh, Peter gave this to me for Christmas, and it was just marked up, and I was like, wow, you've really marked that Bible up. It's just a few days after Christmas. She said, well, he gave it to me early, but she said, I'm marking all of the passages in the Old Testament that are about Jesus. And I was like, what? And she just was like, yeah, me and my students do this. She was teaching at a Christian school. We read the Old Testament together, and anything that is talking about Jesus or reminds us of him, we highlight it. And I'm sure that I knew. I had been going to Calvary for 8 months or so and having really good Bible teaching. So I'm sure that I knew it's all about Jesus, the whole Bible. But that night, it like connected the dots. This whole book is about Jesus. That's awesome. And so it was a new year, and I was like, I'm going to read through the Old Testament twice, just to read through it. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to mark everything that reminds me of Jesus. And I grew so much by doing that. And I grew so much by going to Aaron and Lisa's and just hearing people talk about the Word. Sometimes it was really cool things like the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. I remember Josh drew out for me a picture from Numbers chapter 2 of how the Israelites encamped around the tabernacle and in the shape of a cross. And I'm like, whoa, it's cool. Sometimes it was cool stuff like that. Sometimes it was just what I've done here. This God ministered to me through this scripture. But I look back on that, and that was the thing that got me so excited about being in the Word, because I wanted God to speak to me too. I wanted to have a relationship with him that was meaningful and real, and that two-way relationship. I didn't want to just go and get teaching all the time, or, it made me so excited. It was just such a sweet time. And if I could do anything, that's what I would do again, is open up our home and just come and what's God speaking to you from his word. Because I think it just put such an excitement in me, and it helped me connect so many dots. And everyone just loved Jesus there. And I guess the final scripture really goes along with that. And again, I didn't have any commentaries or Blue Letter Bible to look things up. But God is faithful, because the whole time I was thinking this was my theme. This is what he showed me. On September 25th, my pages are falling everywhere. I think it's the 25th. And I didn't write it down. But it's the scripture about about the word not returning void. That when You're in the Word. It's doing a work in your life, whether you feel it or not. And I'm so thankful that over the past years, I've developed a habit of being in the Word. And really, I don't take credit for it. It's just a habit. I got in this habit of doing laundry every Monday, like 8 loads of laundry every Monday. Just, it was a habit. And for me, that's what Bible reading is. I'm used to it. I get up, I get my cup of coffee, and pretty much the first thing I do is I go read my Bible. And it's not always touchy-feely for me. Sometimes it's just doing it on faith and saying, I know this is doing a good work in me. I know this word is going down deep. Just like that very first scripture about in quietness and rest is your strength. It was just lodged in my mind. I didn't memorize it. The Holy Spirit just brought it to life. And he couldn't have done that if I hadn't been in the Word. I mean, I guess he could have, but I think it's because of that habit of being in the Word. And none of this is law. I don't want to make law out of it. You can be in the Word any time of day, whether it's morning or night. But I know for me, I've found that the same place, same time type of habit has helped me a lot. For me, it works out. In the morning, I like to get up before my kids if I can. I have my coffee. I read my Bible. Right now, I do it in my bed. I've done it at the table. I've done it all different places. But I think that's helpful. And to have a systematic reading of the Bible, whether it's, like I said, right now I'm doing the one-year Bible. I don't always read the Old Testament and the New Testament. I skipped Job. I don't like Job very much. But sometimes I don't have time. And there were some days when I may have only read the Psalms. The one-year Bible works for me right now. It may not work for you. I don't like that all four Gospels are in a row, but I think it's important to have a system of reading the Bible, because I know for me, when something hits and I don't know what to do, or it's painful, or, you know, even with my kids, it can be really hard. If I just go grasping at straws, this is what I used to do. I'd be like, well, it's October 1st, so I'm going to read Psalm 1, Psalm 11, and Psalm 111, because I'll have one in them. Because I just would be desperately seeking direction. But I found it so much better to just say, you know, this is what I'm reading today, and to trust that the Lord is doing a work through it. Again, not every day is touchy-feely for me. Sometimes I read it and I'm like, didn't really seem to get that much. But I know that his word doesn't return void. And I know it's doing a work, like I said, that 6 months of going from it would rip my guts out to move to, wow, it might be kind of exciting. I know that's a work that the Lord did, partially through his word. And I didn't even know it. You might just read the Old Testament, the New Testament, maybe just the epistles or gospels. But I think it's important to get the whole counsel of God, even if you skip Job like I do. I prefer to hear somebody teach through Job. And I found for me, it helps to just keep it interesting. Like I said, I'm doing the ESV version right now. I've done the NIV. I did the NLT for a while. For a while, I didn't like the NLT. But then when I did read the NLT, I loved it. It was so refreshing. I felt like it was just for me, it was just a fresh perspective to read words that, you know, you get to a verse, you know, like, yeah, I know this. But it would just be worded a little differently. And so for daily Bible reading, keep it interesting. Commentaries are helpful. Listening to teachings from others. One thing that I've enjoyed lately are just doing Bible studies from people that aren't necessarily within the Calvary Chapel movement. I'm not talking about wacky stuff, but just it gives a different perspective when you've kind of within Calvary been in it for a while. You hear a lot of the same teaching, like that verse about watching the stuff. I read that with my kids on Thursday, and I was like, I am not giving that perspective on that. Anyway, sorry, that's maybe a little bit of an inside joke. But it's neat to hear different speakers or different commentaries, because they have different points of view. And for me, it just keeps it interesting. When things get redundant, it gets boring. And the Holy Spirit will register in you whether something is wacky or not. And for me, there's a difference between daily reading and Bible study. My daily reading is not me going and looking up the Greek and the Hebrew, and I don't even use commentaries that much unless I don't understand something. It's just reading the Word and asking the Lord to speak to me. To me, Bible study is that digging in deeper, and obviously God's going to speak to you, but I don't always have time for deep Bible study. So my priority is just that daily reading, that conversation with God. So I wish I could find the exact... you know what? I don't think it was the 25th. I think I wrote down the wrong day, because I just want to read that scripture to you. What's today? The first? So, maybe it was Wednesday. Yes. I'll leave with this scripture, because the Lord faithfully gave it to me, because I didn't have any way to look it up. It was Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thanks, guys.